Hello, it's Mark Chris from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Again, reflecting on the 10 years of progress that's been made in the treatment of lung cancers following the discovery of activating mutations in the kinase domain of the EGFR gene. It opened great doors for care, totally changing therapy for so many of our patients, and also for research. But one thing we need to talk a bit about targeted therapy is that it is in many ways different than the kinds of therapies we would offer patients. And it forces us to rethink how we care for patients and how we recommend various treatments. You know, back before we could find a target, find a way of selecting patients that would benefit from a treatment based on a specific molecular aberration in their tumor, every patient got the same therapy. And as we know, we saw a few patients benefit, but we saw even more patients either fail to benefit or out and out suffer. And blessedly, for many of the targets we have now, that day is over. And I think it's very, very important that we focus in on changing our practice to make sure that we make the greatest advantages of targeted therapy, to get those targeted therapy drugs to the patients that can benefit as quickly as possible, as close to diagnosis as possible, and conversely spare patients that don't have the target from it. An example of that is the recent American Society of Clinical Oncology second top five list. They were asked to make a top five list previously when the Institute of Medicine came out with ways to cut down on waste and inefficiencies in the medical system. But they've done it again. And I just want to highlight one of the important top five things that they said. And it's number five. Do not use a targeted therapy intended for use against a specific genetic aberration unless a patient's tumor cells have a specific biomarker that predicts an effective response to the targeted therapy. I think that reflects a understanding and a over the last decade that significant benefit to an EGFR, to a patient with an EGFR mutant lung cancer, will happen, but it will not happen to others. In the IPAS data, 70% response rate in patients that quotes fit the profile with an EGFR mutation, a 1% chance of benefit with those patients that did not have a mutation but had that same clinical profile. I mean, despite this knowledge, and again reflected in our current guidelines, you test, you treat for that test, you don't have the test, you would not give a targeted therapy. People are still not following through on that. Why do this? Do people still have doubts? I think the data's out there, the IPAS is very strong data. But our patients told us this, too. It's very interesting in the crizotinib experience because many of the crizotinib patients were younger, were never smokers. Before ALK rearrangements were discovered as a way of directing therapy, many of them got erlotinib. And to a person, they would tell us, as we gave them the crizotinib, what it was like to have had the erlotinib. I think the first thing was it just didn't help. And again, it brought its side effects with it. And frankly, most of the patients found that the side effects of erlotinib were more concerning than the ones they had with crizotinib. But just starting with the patients, though, if you give a therapy that doesn't affect the target, the patient doesn't benefit and may suffer side effects. We now have this kind of unusual situation. Erlotinib is still an FDA-approved treatment for second line and also a treatment for a maintenance therapy and has approvals for that. But it goes against what we've learned since those approvals have happened. And I caution you to think about that. And there have been some papers recently that highlight that. One of them was in Lancet Oncology, the paper by Garasimo that compared second-line or erlotinib to docetaxel in patients that were EGFR wild-type. And there, what you found was a higher rate of shrinkage, tumor shrinkage, and survival in those wild-type patients that received docetaxel. So despite the fact that this is an FDA-approved treatment for this indication, we know that it's not the best treatment in the wild-type patients. The second paper that's come out, and I caution you as you read papers that you kind of read between the lines, is a discussion of the BR19 data that's come out. And in the ASCO Post, the title of the report and their article is this: No Apparent Benefit of Adjuvant Gefitinib in Resected NSCLC in a Prematurely Closed Trial. Now, that it totally misses the fact that when this trial was designed, we didn't understand about the EGFR mutations, and in retrospect, we would not do this kind of trial. But we did. We did not see benefit. But we need to be absolutely clear that the reason these drugs did not work in this setting is they were given to the wrong patients. We know that now. We would not give imatinib to a patient with an M2 leukemia. We would not give erlotinib to a patient that didn't have an EGFR mutation. We know that now. We didn't know that then. And I think that's very, very important. And be very careful here to read between the lines. And as it turns out, even in the sub-analysis of that BR19 trial, there were only 15 patients that had an EGFR mutation. So you really can't draw any conclusion from 15 patients from a trial that was supposed to have 1,000 or more. So it's been a great 10 years, but we've learned an important lesson. Targeted therapies only work if you have the target. And despite the fact that these drugs are available and approved, we must pay attention to the molecular profile of each patient's tumor. We must precisely treat as possible to get the best results for our patients.